U.S. stocks seesawed Thursday, but finished near where they began the day. Weak housing data and uncertainty over a U.S.-China trade deal clouded investor sentiment. The S&P 500 snapped a three-day winning streak, closing flat. New home sales fell more than expected in January. That dragged down housing and real estate stocks. Companies with exposure to China, such as chip makers Intel and Nvidia, lost ground.
2 weeks away from the exit date, we're going to vote on extending that exit date, but we have to extend it for a reason. Just kicking the can down the road doesn't help anybody and probably won't be acceptable to the European Union. So we need to focus relentlessly as a House of Commons on how we are going to come together around a way forward.
Uber's self-driving unit might be set for $1 billion cash injection. At least that's if talks pan out with a group of investors, including SoftBank and Toyota. Two Reuters sources said the investment of $1 billion or more could value Uber's self-driving project at between $5 and $10 billion. It would come even though that project is burning hundreds of millions of dollars without earning Uber any revenue. Uber and SoftBank declined to comment, and a Toyota spokesman said they don't have anything to announce.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's March the 15th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've put together a really good program for you today. It's our Friday regulars program. Paul Nolte is here today. We're going to be talking a little bit about some economic news from the week in our portfolios. We'll bring in Paul momentarily this morning. A little bit later, I think we've all been looking forward to hearing from Brian Summers this morning from skiff.com. He's the aviation business editor there. Our full conversation at 5:40 this morning, I bet it's going to focus on the 737 MAX 8 aircraft. We'll pick Brian's brain about what's going on with that and when the grounding of that aircraft may be lifted, if at all, in the near future. So stay tuned. We've got it along with the latest news, weather, sports, and traffic for you this hour. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The opening bell rings this morning after the S&P 500 and NASDAQ snapped a three-day winning streak yesterday. At the close yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrials had gained just 7 points. The NASDAQ lost about 12 points. The S&P was down about 2 points. This morning, as we look at the boards, Dow futures are pointing positive, with Dow futures up about 77 points, nearly a third higher on S&P futures. NASDAQ futures are up almost 0.5%. Around the world this morning in Europe, markets are generally in the green in London, Germany, and France, up by about a third to nearly 0.5% in Germany. And in Asia, the market's going to end the day in the green as well. The Nikkei up nearly 0.75%, 163 points. Everything else positive as well. And oil is at $58.74 a barrel in the United States, up about 13 cents. A couple of stories before we get going full today. The Securities and Exchange Commission is charging Volkswagen and its former CEO with defrauding U.S. investors. The SEC says VW raised billions of dollars through the corporate bond and fixed income markets while making deceptive claims about the environmental impact of its clean diesel fleet. The complaint alleges that in 2014 and 2015, VW issued more than $13 billion in bonds and securities in the U.S. when senior executives knew more than 500,000 vehicles in the U.S. grossly exceeded legal vehicle emissions limits. Facebook is losing two more key executives amid its privacy and encryption push. Chief Product Officer Chris Cox and WhatsApp head Chris Daniels are both leaving the company. The two are longtime Facebook veterans, described as trusted lieutenants of Mark Zuckerberg. The departures come a week after the company announced sweeping changes to refocus the social network. Co-founder of Instagram and CEO of WhatsApp are among the senior executives who have left in recent months. An Illinois state treasurer wants to make it easier for legal marijuana businesses to go to the bank. State Treasurer Mike Ferrix yesterday proposed a new law to end what he calls outdated banking laws. He says the current laws have forced medical marijuana growers and sellers to rely on cash-only business. He says his legislation would prohibit the state from any action that would penalize or dissuade banks and credit unions from serving cannabis-related businesses. front and center this morning. Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. And Paul, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Happy early St. Pat's Day.
Exactly. Our producer Bennett in the booth there already has his little green St. Patrick's Day hat on. I feel like we should have wore green or something today as well.
Yeah. Not today.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Forget my green stuff.
And as far as we can tell, even though it's dark, we think the river is still its normal color. But
but it's green on Wall Street this morning.
Yeah,
and
how about that?
And it has been all week. Following last week's decline, you know, the market's, I think, rallying on the expectation, and this has been kind of the theme underlying the markets here, is that we're going to have a deal with China. They wrapped up their big Congress overnight last night, and the economic news continues to be decent, not fabulous, but decent. But I think the markets are certainly expecting that we're going to have a deal with China sometime soon, and things will get better as we go through the course of the year.
Well, I think hope springs eternal, right? We will see what happens there. Seems like we always have that feeling, and then a few hours or days later, there's a wrench in the works.
Oh, it is. And, you know, they've even postponed the proposed meeting now between Xi and Trump until April. You know, and as we talk about some of the economic data, the expectation has been that this is the bottom of the economic cycle, if you will. We've had a lot of bad news coming out of fourth quarter, first quarter, following the government shutdown, and that we should start to see a pickup in economic activity later this year, and that would be supportive of stock prices. And certainly as investors look forward, anticipating that, bidding up stock prices today.
There's so much going on this week with world events and things happening from Brexit to Boeing. Let's begin, I guess, with Boeing. I wanted to ask you quickly about Boeing. How quickly did you unload Boeing stock this week, or did you at all?
I didn't. We actually don't own it. We owned it last year and sold it probably midsummer last year, as from our perspective, got to full valuation. So we are sitting on the sidelines and watching at this point. And I think if you own the stock, I think you're looking for a little bit of a bounce here. I wouldn't be hurrying to sell. I wouldn't also be hurrying to buy. We still don't know the reasons for the crash. So until we get an understanding of what's going on, what's truly going on, it's kind of hard to make a long-range decision. But I'd go back to what happened with the Dreamliner with Boeing, and that goes back probably 5-6 years ago when they wound up grounding that operation. It took a big hit to the stock price. And after about 6-7 months or so, when everybody kind of figured out that, okay, they're still going to be a company and they're still producing planes, the stock has done extremely well over that period of time. So really, there's only two players there. There's Boeing and there's Airbus, and so you're going to have to deal with it at some point, buying from Boeing.
Yeah, the 737 is the core business, one of the core businesses at Boeing. I mean, it's not going to be easy for the company.
Certainly not. And you know, and some are looking too at China Air, and saying, you know, they produce planes, and maybe this is an opening for China to get involved in producing planes as well. So that's why I said, if you're looking to buy Boeing because it's down a lot and it is a good company, I would hold off a little bit and wait for things to be understood as to what happened.
And then Brexit. I have to scratch my head here. I'm guessing they're not getting out right away.
You know, it is when forced to make a decision, the politically best thing to do is kick the can down the road, and so they are kicking the can. I think very difficult situation, but I think it's one that they're kicking down the road and trying to postpone as long as they can to make a decision on what to do. We've had a variety of confidence votes. Theresa May has made it through most of those. I can't see where a hard Brexit is in anybody's best interest. So I think it's either going to be a soft Brexit where some things get done, other things get postponed, or they essentially just postpone it until they can figure out a better thing to do.
We were talking about some of the big global events this week, but we also saw some data points come out of the economy. on inflation and home sales.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest in your mind?
The biggest for us has been the inflation numbers, and it goes back to what the Fed may or may not do. And the inflation numbers, from our way of looking at things, are very benign at this point. They're up slightly, but on a year-over-year basis. Core inflation and a lot of the inflation numbers that the Fed keeps an eye on to determine whether they should be raising rates or not remain very much below their target levels. And so the Fed should, by that definition, stay on the sidelines and not raise rates, although some are calling for, you know, one, maybe even two rate increases later on this year. Our thought is we'd be lucky to get one, and they're probably going to be on the sidelines for much of this year and following the lead of other banks around the other central banks around the world in standing down and trying their best to get the global economy going.
I love following your Nolte's notes with your commentary. By the way, if anybody, when at the end of the show, write down Paul's email, and you'll get signed up for that. But one of the things that I look, and one of the things that you've said is that we're sort of in a dead zone right now of economic data.
Once we get past mid-month, you know, you get the producer prices, consumer price index, you get the unemployment numbers, you get a lot of the housing data. Once you get past the middle part of the month, there's not a lot of the big economic data that points left. And when you're outside of the earnings season, as we are at the end of each quarter, there doesn't tend to be a lot of market-moving news outside of the political environment. So the markets tend to trade off of more politics or comments here, there, or elsewhere, as opposed to real economic data. So the real data points are going to be the first couple months or couple weeks of each month. And then as we get into the earnings season, which will start up again right after the 1st of April, and we'll go probably 6 weeks in to earnings data, those are the big points that really move markets and have an impact on the markets. And then throw into different Fed meetings or when Fed governors are talking. And certainly as you get to the end of the month, the Fed is out in the marketplace and talking. So those are the ways to take a look at, over the course of a month, how the markets may react to different data points.
And in this week's Nolte Notes, you talked too about the FANG stocks. As we talk about what you like here at the end of the week, would they be in that mix? Or?
Well, they've been, you know, they did extremely well last year. They came off very hard during the fourth quarter and even into January a little bit and underperformed the S&P. But I think we're seeing a rotation back to the very large U.S. stocks, and certainly the FANG names fit that bill. When you take a look at how stocks have performed in general, the S&P 500 is the top dog again. International markets are doing well, but have come off a little bit. Brexit obviously impacting Europe. The emerging markets are doing reasonably well here. And there's a rotation inside the market away from the industrial and energy stocks, which really led the markets in January and February, and back toward the technology area. So it has been, at least over the last month or so, a little bit more FANG-like and a lot more large-cap U.S. stocks. Valuations for the markets are back up to where they were the August, September of last year. So we're a little bit cautious from a valuation perspective, which is very long-term in nature, not really timing, you know, this week or next. But the momentum of the market certainly has been on the plus side, and I think that can continue for a while here.
We have about a minute left, but I wanted a little bit more than a minute. I want to get your thoughts on this. NerdWallet was out this week with the average 401k balance by age. They looked at holdings at Fidelity Investments, where the average 401k there as of September 28th was $106,500 at the various ages. It says here what the median is. Let's see, at age 50 to 59, $179,000 is the average balance. The median balance is just $62,000. What does this tell us about how much we should be saving and what kind of retirement we might have?
Well, you know, certainly a lot of people have been relying on Social Security as their retirement and have not saved as much as they should be saving for their own retirement. Our parents all had pensions. We do not. Our pension is the 401k. And although many companies do match, they don't match that much. It is very incumbent on individuals to save and put money away for themselves. And I think what those numbers really point up is the fact that a lot of people are not saving as much as they really should. You should be saving more than just a percentage point or two of your earnings. You know, going back to our parents, they were saving 5-6% of their savings, living well below what their means are. Today, we're in a very different place and not nearly saving as much as we should for retirement. And we're living a lot longer in retirement, which means you need a lot more in the way of dollars to make it through a long and healthy retirement.
Paul, how can people get a hold of you and have a conversation if they want?
They want to get a hold of me and get on to the Nolte Notes. They can email me at pnolte@kingsviewam.com.
We'll see you again. I think you're going to be off next week.
I'm going to take a little hiatus next week, and then I'll be back in 2 weeks.
All right, good. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
Take care. Thank you.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Ethiopian Airlines says the investigation in France has begun into the data, flight data, and voice recorders of the aircraft that crashed on Sunday, killing all 157 people on board. The airline says in a Twitter post that the Ethiopian delegation will be led by a chief investigator from Paris of the Accident Investigation Bureau, that they've started looking now at the black boxes. The French agency says it's unclear whether any data will be able to be retrieved. It has also shared a photo of the data recorder, which appeared to be intact, though an edge was somewhat mangled. This has been a very crazy week of groundings of the Boeing 737 MAX 8 in the aftermath of that crash. And Brian Summers joins us this morning to talk more about it. Brian is senior aviation business editor for Skift.com, and he joins us from Los Angeles via Skype. Brian, a crazy week, lots of developments in this story. Where does this story stand right now?
Steve, you're right. It's been an absolutely crazy week. It started Sunday when an Ethiopian Airlines 737 MAX 8 crashed after takeoff. People may know this was the second crash of this new aircraft in about 5 months. So within about 48 hours, regulators in a lot of countries, including China, including the UK, eventually all of Europe, decided to ground the aircraft. They didn't necessarily have a concrete reason. They didn't have data or evidence. It was mostly out of what they would call an abundance of caution, right? Two planes crashed. We kind of know why the first one crashed. We don't know why the second one crashed. We think they might be related. We're not sure. The United States held out. They said, we don't have the data. We think that the airplane is safe. Boeing said the airplane is safe. The three U.S. carriers that fly the airplane, that's American, United, and Southwest, all stood by the aircraft, as did the pilot unions. So that got us until about Tuesday night. The FAA came out with a statement, said the aircraft is safe. We know other regulators are grounding it. We don't think that we have to. Less than 24 hours later, the FAA changed course. We don't exactly know why. The FAA did say it had some new evidence. It didn't say what that evidence was. It said it gathered some more data from satellites. Didn't talk about that exactly. I think that we can probably take the FAA at its word, but I should also talk about public sentiment. You know, this sort of stuff matters. Data is important. But I was hearing from travelers, people probably listening to the show, folks didn't want to fly on this airplane. And eventually, it's just hard to for these airlines to keep flying an airplane that people are scared to fly on. So right now, all the Boeing 737 MAXs essentially in the world have been grounded. I think there are about 370 of them. And there really is no timeline for when they're going to get back into the air. You know, usually in this sort of situation, Steve, there's a fix that has to be made. That's what happened a few years ago with Boeing 787 Dreamliner. It was grounded, but Boeing knew why. It fixed these problems with the batteries. Months later, the plane was flying again. Here, we probably have to figure out what happened, and then we can go from there, and then the airplanes can get back in the sky again. could be months, but I just don't know.
Yeah, and there are a couple of things here. I mean, if the FAA has new data, and I know Canada referenced the data as well, it would be kind of important to share that with all of us, and it's kind of concerning that they haven't.
Perhaps, Steve. I mean, this is above my pay grade, as they say. You know, maybe for some reason the government is keeping the data close to the vest. Maybe the data doesn't show anything that's that concrete. I think a lot of this, as I said before, is really done out of an abundance of caution. No regulator wants on duty when a third 737 MAX crashes, right? And so the easiest thing to do is to ground the airplane until you can learn more.
So let's talk about the impact that this is having in real time on travelers and the airlines.
Sure, Steve. You know, the good news for U.S. travelers is that this is a new airplane, and United, American, and Southwest had only recently been taking deliveries. So for all three of the airlines, the MAX represents a pretty small representation of the fleet. At United, there's 14 737-9s, American has 24 of 737-8s, and Southwest has 34. So Southwest has the most 737 MAXs, and of those three airlines, it has the smallest overall fleet. So just on a percentage basis, Southwest is in the most trouble. It's going to be hard for them to fly exactly the same schedule they were flying before. But, you know, airlines have aircraft out of service all the time. Sometimes it's expected, sometimes it's not. Believe it or not, you can do more with less, right? One of the easiest things to do is to fly your aircraft more hours per day than you expected. So maybe you only expected to fly it 9 or 10 hours a day because you have other aircraft out of service. You stretch the airplanes you already have. Maybe you fly them 12 hours a day. So I expect to see more increased utilization at all of these airlines, but especially Southwest. It does take a while, usually, for airlines to rejigger their schedules to fix these problems and to kind of smooth everything out. So there's probably much more of a chance of delays and cancellations in the next 1 to 2 to 3 weeks than there is 3 or 4 months down the line. I think if this continues for a while, airlines will find a way to cover the flying.
Well, and then the other big question to you is, what's the impact going to be on Boeing, especially if there really is a problem with this aircraft?
Yeah, you know, the 737 program has been around for 5 decades or so. It's a huge seller. People call it Boeing's cash cow. Apparently, it accounts for like a third of Boeing's overall profits. So this is going to hurt the company. There's no doubt about it. But it could be a short-term hit. I mean, you know, the news cycles move so fast right now, Steve, that people forget what happened in the past. 2013, as I mentioned before, Boeing had to ground its 787s because of a battery issue. And at the time, you know, people were wondering, is this aircraft safe? And they were also wondering, even if it's fixed, are airlines still going to want the aircraft? Well, it turns out 6 years later, the airplane is completely safe. But more importantly, airlines are begging to get their hands on the Boeing 787. It's a great airplane. It has great range, great efficiency. Airlines love it, and people have forgotten what happened in 2013. I'm not sure that this will be exactly the same thing, but I think that over the long term, Boeing will be fine. It's probably not a real pleasant time to be at headquarters right now, though.
Yeah, probably not. So, Brian, what happens if they can't read the black boxes of this Ethiopian crash? I know that has been an issue, or it's been in the news the last couple of days. We really need those data points, don't we?
Yeah, Steve, that's not exactly my area of expertise. My guess is that they will find a way to figure out what happened somehow. It's very rare that we don't figure out what happened during a crash. I mean, the only airplane right now that's out there where we have no idea what happened is that Malaysia airplane, that 777 a few years ago that just disappeared off the map. Usually, investigators do absolutely everything they can to get the cause of the accident. And we've talked about this before on the show, to make sure that nothing the same ever happens again. Airline regulators are just very good at fixing the past problem. Sometimes it does take a crash. In this case, it may take 2 crashes to figure it out, but I think they're going to figure it out.
Do we at all need to be concerned that there's not a full-time FAA administrator, that post is filled by an interim head?
Well, you know, my understanding is the FAA is headed by an acting administrator right now. I've asked about this. Apparently, the acting administrator is perfectly qualified for the job. You know, this does happen in government sometimes where you don't have a full-time administrator or a cabinet head. But I don't think that that's the worst of our problems right now. I think the gentleman doing the job is up for the task.
I was going to ask you if there's any other airline news that's on your radar screen this week, but that probably would be taking too far, wouldn't it?
This is pretty much all I've been doing all week, Steve. People are very interested in it. I think anytime two airplanes crash in a short period of time, folks get very upset. And, you know, this is a big deal, but it's also been in the news nonstop all week. And, you know, I have to tell you, before the airplane was grounded, I was talking with a lot of folks with a lot of knowledge about this. And everyone said, you know what, we still think the airplane is safe. And I was going on TV and going on the radio and saying I would still fly the MAX. I still believe that. But public sentiment just went the other way, and people were spooked, and it was probably the right thing to ground the airplane.
All right, Brian, well, we'll stay in touch with you with this, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is a senior aviation business editor for skift.com at Skift on Twitter. Make sure you follow Brian as well at Brian Summers for the latest on the 737 MAX story.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street a little bit later on. Dow futures up 92 points this morning. Let's check in with Orion Samuelson on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you. Checking in this morning from WGN West in Scottsdale, Arizona, where the weather isn't much warmer than it is, I think, back in Chicago. But as we take a look at what happened yesterday, that wheat market keeps bouncing up and down, and yesterday was another day. Wheat futures rallied for the second time in 3 days, hitting their highest in more than a week, as investors apparently are scrambling to drop some short positions in the trade. Short covering also supported corn futures amid contracts that cold soils and muddy fields could hamper farmers' early planting efforts. Really, I am hearing more about that. There is concern because of the heavy snow cover and the rains that we have been getting that could add to the flooding, particularly in the Corn Belt this morning. So wheat yesterday did gain, and corn about a fraction lower, soybeans a little higher, and pork made a little news yesterday. Hog futures rallied, improving export prospects. We talk about China buying soybeans and corn, which they are doing in small amounts, but last week China bought 23,800 tons of U.S. pork. That's its biggest purchase in nearly 2 years. And Chinese hog prices have surged after that outbreak of African swine fever. So there is enough to talk about in the market, but no agreement between China and the U.S. on putting an end to the trade war.
Yesterday was Ag Day, and all over social media and everywhere there was all kinds of hashtags and great stories from agriculture. Great day for us to celebrate farmers.
Indeed it was, and I'm glad that a lot of activity took place in various communities around the country. FFA members were involved, and 4-H club members were involved, and farm organizations. We do this once a year, generally on the first day of spring. And Max was in Washington yesterday. We'll be hearing from him tomorrow with his account of some of the things that took place in our nation's capital on the Hill. And I'm glad that this is an event that started back in the 1960s, and then sort of faded into the background for several years and then brought it back. And so delighted that we spent a day. And, of course, I hope you did take a farmer to lunch yesterday, Steve.
I did not. I've read a lot of great stories about farmers, so I feel like I contributed that way.
Well, good. And we'll now sort of go along with the farmers on if we get the crop planted, and I guess we will, but it could be challenging. And the next big report coming out now is March 29th. That's the day that we'll get the planting intentions report. How many acres of corn and soybeans farmers intend to plant in the crop year 2019.
All right. Orion, have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend, and yes, we will. Thank you.
All right. Orion Samuelson with us this morning. Make sure you tune into the morning show tomorrow morning at 5 right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, March 15th. Industrial production for February due this morning. And industry analyst forecast an increase of 0.4% over January's disappointing performance. Production fell 0.6% in January. The February number is due out midday. Also today, the latest job openings will be out. Experts predict a slight decrease from December's numbers. The Empire State Manufacturing Survey is due, a report on consumer sentiment as well. And also earnings today from the Buckle, Restoration Robotics, and Future Fuel Corporation.